Welcome back to the Funk House. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Got a probably a shorter show for you tonight. back to basics. Just Jerry and myself. Jerry, how we doing tonight?
Doing good. Another crazy week as usual.
Oh yeah.
It's weird. We kind of a wild week really in the fantasy world with some guys popping out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We had a matchup this week.
We did.
Which was pretty interesting. You couldn't handle Jaren Hall, could you? No,
Jaren Hall really took me for really every dime, penny, nickel that I had. But yeah, I just could not. I had a full squad.
It was
very talented group, and just couldn't match up against Mr. Hall, who played a whopping four snaps, maybe.
I had a lot of dumb players go off, like Indy's defense. I had them. They put up 30. Then Taysom Hill doing his crazy stuff again.
That pissed me off. That for sure pissed me off.
I was going to apologize for those performances because I know how annoying it happens against you. So,
but that's why you pick them up. That's why you pick them up, you know, and play
right.
I beat the fuck out of Judd in his league last week, and that was very satisfying. Who did I have go off? Dak went off.
I lost to Nate's league.
Oh, Sankey. Yeah. Well, I took care of him for you. Finally had our Jahan Dotson game. But we'll get into all that. So, again, if I'm a little nasally, still fighting this sinus infection. We're getting into the long COVID territory, you know. Just feeling run down. Life's getting the better of us. And Jerry, I know you're not feeling great as well this evening, so... We're going to power through. This week's for the listeners, you know. This is for you guys to tune in every week because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do it. So we're going to get through this. We're going to try not to hack and cough and blow snot all over the pod. But if we do, you know, shit happens. So tried to get a couple guests last minute. Still haven't gotten a reply from either one. So Eric D, fresh off, I think he was on the Picks Pod last week or the week before. Still haven't gotten a reply a couple hours later. So it's safe to say he won't be joining us tonight. And Timbo Slice, Mr. Big Sky, again, still haven't heard back from Timmy. So we'll see about future weeks. But hoping to get, you know, a nice guest on every week. It's been a while since we haven't had one for a weekly show, but... Here we are, and back to basics. So, you know, this is where we get that spark we needed for the second half of the year, Jerry, and boy, do we both need it. So, it's going to be a great show, quick and dirty, and, as always, going to start with Jerry's trademark review of the previous week. Jerry?
And
KJ.
Week 9, studs, the one of the week, Stroud. 54 fantasy points, 5 touchdowns, 470 yards. If you saw that last drive from him, it was unbelievable. Stroud made it look easy. I've always been an anti-Ohio State quarterback guy, but he is changing that for me.
Yep.
Stroud looks unreal. Very excited to see what he does this week in a tough matchup. Dak Prescott, big game. 374 yards and 3 touchdowns, equated to 35 fantasy points, but Cowboys lost the game. But that offense looking pretty solid for us. 29 points. He had 3 touchdowns as well, 2 through the air and 1 on the tush push. Other quarterbacks that had good games, Dobbs had the fourth quarter comeback, saving his fantasy day that he wasn't even supposed to be a part of. Burrow and Allen, they both had nice games in their face-off. For running backs, some interesting names here. Running back 1 on the week, Rachaad White. Just under 28 points. He had 2 touchdowns, 73 yards, and he also had 4 catches for 46 yards. So a lot of production out of him. A lot of stuff in garbage time there. He was just getting... He might have got all 4 catches there towards the end. Running back 2, Ramondre Stevenson. This is the Ramondre we wanted preseason, but we really haven't seen. He went 9 for 87 and a touchdown, and he also caught 4 for 42. Not a ton of usage there, only 9 carries, but really turned it into something. Josh Jacobs, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns against maybe the worst NFL team in the history of football, the New York Giants, looking very, very rough right now. Big game for Jacobs. Here's another random one. Keaton Mitchell, story of the week here. 9 for 138 and a touchdown. Apparently this backfield's just the best backfield in the NFL with him. Gus Bus, he had 2 touchdowns as well. Nice to see they avoid Justice Hill since I have him in every league. Eckler had a big game on Monday night. Gave me a brutal loss in Sankey, one I could not afford to lose. A terrible skid in that league of what was once my most promising team. Derrick Henry, big game for him. Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, they all had real nice weeks. Wide receivers, we got some interesting ones here too. Tank Dell, he steals the number one spot this week with that last-minute game-winning touchdown from Stroud. He had just under 30 points, 6 for 114 and 2 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb is staying really hot right now. He was the wide receiver too. He had 28 points without having any touchdowns. He caught 11 for 191. He has 23 catches for 349 yards and 2 touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. He's on fire. I've lost both games, but I have him on my team. Noah Brown, where did he come from? Another surprise here. Big game for Houston, 6 for 153 and a touchdown. Other notable wide receivers, Amari Poopy Coopy, big game. Deontay Johnson, who? And Stephon Diggs. Big weeks for all those guys. And then at tight end, it was like the Cowboys receiving core of old. You had CD with the huge game, Noah Brown, who used to be a Cowboy. And then at tight end, we had Dalton Schultz as the number one tight end of the week. As you can see, Stroud really dished it out across the players this week, all of them in the top three of their respective positions. Pretty ridiculous. Schultz, he went 10 for 130 and 2 touchdowns. Another great performance from Cole Kmet, annoying managers with a big game, 6 for 55 and 2 touchdowns. God, guys like that are so frustrating because next week we'll have 1 catch for 2 yards. But I guess you got to roll the dice there. Cade Otton, no one's starting him in most cases, but he went 6 for 70 and 2 touchdowns. Keep an eye on him. And then we already mentioned Taysom Hill, another crazy game for him, doing a little bit of everything. Jake Ferguson, he's been hot the past couple weeks. And Jonnu Smith, all those guys over 20 points this week. Tight ends kind of went off. Kincaid had a good game. Musgrave had a good game. Juwan Johnson finally had a game. All these guys scored touchdowns. It was a big tight end week. Overall, I went 2-2 this week. My two teams that I'm doing well with, one. Two teams I'm doing bad with, one.
That's the way you want it.
Still keep fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could choose, that's definitely the way you want it. not a good week for me. I believe I was 3-4. Again, like every week, 3-4. But a couple nice wins. None that'll matter. I think every team that I have is basically 3-6 at this point. Now, I do have 1-5-4 in the League of Legends, believe it or not. I beat the hell out of Crook last week, and he's like a really good team, so I don't know where that came from, but struggling in most leagues. Doesn't look like I'm going to make really an impact anywhere, but I love playing spoiler, so you got to play it out. Never know. Right. Could sneak in, could pick up some, you know, stud next week. You know, it could be anybody at this point, so you're never out of it until your
players can get hot.
Yep. Yeah, you're never out of
anything
it.
Anything can happen. And guys so, that have been terrible all year can turn around and be top 10 guys the rest of the year. It's anything can happen here.
Yeah.
Never give up.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So, all right. We are going to get right into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange. And I want to start with the guy you let off with, Jerry, CJ Stroud. I can't say enough about him. Love this kid. He is getting into, like, top 10 quarterback area, Now, I traded him away in a two quarterback league earlier this year. I had to recoup a little wide receiver value, so I don't regret doing it. But man, does he look great? Because everything that we thought he could be, very, very pleased with how that's going. And like you were saying about Ohio State quarterback, that's a huge narrative. So you know the memes where it's the little kids, and I don't know. I think it might be like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, but it's some kids movie where they're singing that Turn Around Bright Eyes song, and all the kids are singing it terribly.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some really funny memes. And I saw one, I think this morning, where I see most of my memes sitting on the toilet. And it listed all these old Ohio State quarterbacks off who were just horrible, horrible. And then at the end, the kids start singing good, and it's C.J. Stroud. But it was – I got some names for you here. Craig Krenzel. This was like – Early 2000s, Craig Krenzel, Troy Smith. I think a lot of people remember Troy Smith going to the Ravens. Yep. Terrell Pryor, Cordell Jones, yep. JT Barrett, RIP, Dwayne Haskins, Justin Fields. And then I think the next one was Stroud, but very, very funny. The Craig Krenzel really took me back. I forgot that he was a person.
Wow.
The rest of them I knew. But, man, I remember Craig Krenzel back when college football was way better than the NFL. That is just not the case anymore. But that one took me back quite a bit. So, Nikita, if you're listening, little trip down memory lane for your Buckeyes. But that's amazing. And Stroud, I mean, he keeps this up. He's got to be a top 10 quarterback next year. And if the Texans can make a move for, like, a big-time wide receiver, I really think this offense could make some noise. But I'm also going to concede and admit defeat on Damian Pierce. Couldn't have been more of a landmine. You were totally right on that, Jerry. Couldn't have been more wrong. I don't know how he's not producing on an offense that is putting so many points on the board. That's what's troubling to me right now. I know he didn't play last week. Singletary was in there, but he's just not really looked right that good. And analysts are still saying, no, buy low and Pierce, he's going to pan out and everything. And I guess there's still some weeks left, but I don't know how that happens at this point. He just doesn't look the part. And, you know, there's going to be some free agent wide receivers. You know, T. Higgins. I can't remember who else was on that list next year. Mike Evans. Some guys like that to where if they make a move in Houston, this could be a scary offense. So I wanted to get your thoughts on Stroud. I guess his outlook for the rest of the year. But coming in next year and if they can make a move because we're past the trade deadline at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in a year that quarterback play has been pretty terrible across the board, Stroud has been the shining light, giving us hope for the future here. I absolutely love what I'm seeing out of him. That last game was unreal. It didn't even look like he was trying on the last drive. It was just like, oh, okay, how much time do I have? A couple – ding, 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 boom, done, and no problem. And there's been a lot of guys that have disappointed this year. You know, we mentioned in the episode earlier where we were kind of recapping some of the landmine, goldmine type guys, Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's not playing bad. He's playing great real-life football, but he's not scoring the touchdowns. ETN's getting all of them. Guys like Watson has been really tough on managers.
Oh, yeah.
Burrow was a slow start. Fields has been out. Geno's been bad. Derek Carr's been average. Like, guys that we expected a little more of. So Stroud, can't say enough about him. And if they were to get a guy like T. Higgins or something like that, my God, you still have Tank Dell there. I mean, you could really start to put something together here. Maybe upgrade from Damian Pierce and get someone else that's not a landmine to go find yourself the gold mine.
Yeah.
And, they could be a problem. And their defense has been great, too, for the most part. I mean, the coach, obviously, is very defensive-minded. So, Stroud is moving his way into a top-10 quarterback-type player, I think. There's all these guys I mentioned, it's been tough years. Obviously, Burrow and guys like that, he's gotten hot now and is looking like an old self, but a lot of these guys, you know, next year, I'm going to be keeping an eye on Stroud.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Love that. I had a couple other guys here. kind of move through this segment a little quicker tonight just because we don't have a guest. Couple guys returning for the Cardinals this week. I believe, now don't quote me, I believe Jim Connor is making his return, or they at least opened up his window. But within the next few weeks, he'll be back. And obviously, Kyler. So, wanted to get your take on their impact going forward here. Jim Connor was, you know, having a hell of a year coming into, you know, before he got hurt and placed on IR, missed the last four games. And Kyler, oh, it was just about this time last year. So it was about a year or so. I think that's right. So he's going to be coming back. The Clayton Tune experiment did not work out. I believe he had 0.12 points on the day. And I know that because I had to start him. So what are your thoughts on Kyler playing this week at home against the Falcons? And when do you think Connor will be back?
I think Connor could possibly be. I think he's coming back this week, possibly. He got a limited session in today. I had both these guys on my IR in different leagues. Really, really want Connor back. That's a spot I need some help with in Crook League. So he was solid before going out. I do think there's a chance he plays this week. If not this week, I think he's in next week for sure. Kyler is pretty much 100% in. They've said, I believe he's making his debut.
Yeah.
I think he's supposedly excited to get back out there. I'm excited to see him out there scampering around with them tiny little legs running like a toddler out there. Real excited for that. And I like the matchup this week. Arthur Smith and the Falcons got bamboozled by Dobbs last week. They're flustered. It was good. I seen Falcon fans thanking Dobbs for, you know, coming back and beating them in that game because they don't want Arthur Smith to win. So
guy doesn't even have a mustache
anymore. Yeah, I'm excited to see. I could see them winning this game this week. Kyler breathing some life back into him. If Connor's back, I really like that because he's going to be solid. He wants to get back in the lineup. So, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm excited. If they're both going, I'm starting Kyler in a super flex, I believe, over Dobbs. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to debate that one all week. And then Connor, if he's in, I'm playing him in my other league. So
battle of the birds.
Yeah, bring him back. Go Cards.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kyler will come back and play fairly well. Falcons defense has been solid. It's kind of trailed off in the past few weeks, so we'll see if that pass rush. They lost Grady Jarrett for the season, so that hurts. And they don't have the talent really right now to make a huge impact outside of a couple guys. So who did you want to bring into the stock exchange here, Jerry?
I just wanted to touch on the Ravens backfield. We talked about Keaton Mitchell being one of the better plays this week. I mean, I'm sure he was, you know, number one of the ads this week or close to it on the waiver wire. Gus has been an absolute touchdown machine. Justice Hill's back there. He's getting some work, maybe not enough to be startable, but Gus, I think, is the lead dog here. But are you buying in on Keaton Mitchell at all? Is you trying to avoid this whole situation? Would you want to sell high on Gus, try and get something big for him with this crowded backfield, or do you want to stick it out?
So if I have Gus, I'm certainly sticking it out. I don't see a reason for them to turn away from him at this point. I think this is a classic thunder and lightning that Baltimore has probably been looking for the last half decade or so. They tried the Dobbins experiment. He's done nothing but disappoint. They've had some other guys in there. I know Ingram was good a few years back, but they've always wanted a quicker guy to pair with the Gus bus, and I think they might have it. Now, I like Keaton Mitchell quite a bit. I drafted him in the League of Legends Dynasty team. He's sitting on my taxi squad right now. He might get activated soon, so I'm anxious to see how this plays out. So he might get called up to the bigs on the team Funkhouse. So I could start four RBs there.
Love that.
I'd have Keaton. I'd have Bijan. I'd have Breece, and I'd have Rachaad White. So that's a nice little foursome there. If I had anything in the wide receiver column besides Scary Terry, you know, it can make an impact. But I still like those four running backs. But yeah, I mean, if I have Mitchell, depending on my other options, I might start him this week. We got a few teams on bye. We got Miami, we got Philly, the Rams, and the Chiefs. So some big offenses out this week. I'm kind of just realizing the Chiefs, Dolphins, and Eagles are off this week. Chiefs and Dolphins after the game in Germany last week. So well-deserved.
Big games.
From the travel. Yeah. I would just like to point out, first and foremost, that I think the Dolphins are frauds at this point. Pains me to say it. Everybody's thinking it. Can't beat a good team. But again, they're playing the best teams in the league or the worst. So it's such a weird situation. Yeah. But I can't defend them. They don't show up. The game, I thought the score was a little closer than what the game really dictated. I had such a good feeling about them coming into the game. I really thought they were going to pull that off. I did not think they were going to beat Buffalo in Buffalo earlier this year. I did not think they were going to beat Philly in Philly in primetime when they were wearing the Kelly greens. But I legitimately did think they were going to beat Kansas City. So that was tough to swallow. But we'll get back to the question at hand. I like Keaton Mitchell quite a bit. I'm holding on to both of them, and I think your boy Justice Hill is really the odd man out here. He hasn't really shown me much, but he was a body early in the year, so I totally get starting him a few times. Yeah. He's just never really done much to jump off the page. So I think Keaton Mitchell's a much better player, and he was a UDFA. So I think the Ravens got a nice little gold mine there themselves. So I like him quite a bit.
Nice. Here's one more just for the stock exchange here. One of these hypothetical questions. So at this point in the year, running back half has been, you know, the stud running back one, McCaffrey. If outside of him, you get to choose any running back to have for the rest of the season, who would you go with?
I think it's easy one right off the
top. I'll give Nick on it for a second.
No, I already have it. I know it immediately. It's Travis Etienne. Pretty easy.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I'd think about Ken Walker. Eckler as well is right there. Walker, they had a weird game. I don't know if Walker just got a little banged up, if he got phased out. Didn't watch a lot of that game. We're big Walker guys here in the Funk House, but it's ETN for me by quite a bit.
A good one.
But yeah, Eckler's right there.
How about this one? How about Kamara?
Yeah, that's really good. Kamara is really good. So I like that.
Kamara, listen to these stats. He's running back 7 on the year, and that's after missing the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's averaging like 20 points a game since his return. And we've seen him get, he gets targeted like a wide receiver 1. But yeah, as long as he stays healthy, I think those people that waited for him or had him on their bench and drafted him late, I think they got a serious gold mine there.
Yeah.
For his value.
Let me frame a picture here for you, Jerry. Say you have a team where your top running backs are Kamara, Ken Walker, and Ramondre. You got Kittle at tight end. Mm-hmm. You got Tyreek leading the charge for your wide receiver core. How good do you think your team is?
Sounds pretty solid. Sounds like a really good team.
Well, this is my Sankey team, and it's dog shit. And I have Calvin Ridley behind him. I have Zay Flowers. I had Addison, but I traded him for Kittle, which I'd still stand by that trade. I got more than Kittle. I got Charbonnet as a backup, and I got Romeo Doubs, which you guys know I'm a big fan of. But I can't believe that my team sucks so bad. I mean, I know I lost Kirk, but that's a really nice core, and that's the team I'm most frustrated with this year because the fucking talent on that team is insane. Yeah, you're saying your team.
I got Burrow, CeeDee Lamb, Metcalf, Puka, Mostert, Montgomery, Ferguson. I have other good wide receivers too. I got Devontae Adams. It's ridiculous.
And what's your record? I'm 3-6.
I think I'm the same. I think I'm 3-6.
That's so dumb.
I have the second highest. I have the second highest points in the league.
Oh yeah, I did know that. Yeah. And most teams aren't good in that league. Like I would say we're both of us are in the top 4 or 5 teams in that league pretty easily, and 3-6. That's so stupid. So just
the worst luck of matchups, the worst schedule I've ever seen. It's crazy.
I just can't
catch a break.
Horrible.
I have guys score 40 points on my team. Don't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's what you said, Ramondre. stud last week. Well, it didn't matter. Isn't it the worst thing when you have a guy go off and he has an amazing week and man, I wanted to see that so bad, and you fucking lose anyway, and it just doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't even matter if it happened at all.
You wasted his good week.
Yeah, so frustrating. I hate it.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to jump into the Smash section. Smash is last week. Now, Brandon was on last week, and he was texting me a few days ago. He was very excited to see how his Smash has turned out. And I'll tell you, I just ran the numbers on him. They were very good. Very, very good. So, last week, and we had, keep in mind, we had quite a few double smashes. I think we had a triple smash and some other potential ones as well. But Brandon,
yep,
the only blunder he had was us double smashing Will Levis on Thursday night. Certainly did not work out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd still say it's pretty obvious he looked miles ahead of Kenny Pickett, but it's just the Titans suck. And
Steeler
they just,
football.
It is such a Steeler game. We all knew that. Mikey continues his RJing on the pick show, and I think that's fueling these Steelers, and that makes me more frustrated. I don't know what to do about it. I don't think there's anything I can do about it. But Levis with 8.6 nope. points. Ramondre, he had him at just under 23. T. Higgins.
Nice.
Big triple smash. You had Higgins a wide receiver, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Triple smash of the week comes through with 19 points. And then Jake Ferg Daddy Ferguson, your boy Jerry, 22.1 points. So three smashes. Definitely one of the more impressive smashes this season so far. Brandon and Nikita are right there. And also, I had a three smash earlier in the year. And I think you also had a three smash earlier in the year, Jerry. So we are right there. Yeah. Very impressive, Brandon. Mine, not as great, but not too bad. Levis, like I said, didn't do it. Jonathan Taylor with 18 points. I like that. I like that smash there.
Yeah.
Higgins, 19, like we said. And then my guy, Trey McBride, couldn't come through for me again, a lowly 5.2. But I'll take 2 out of 4. How'd you do?
I'm going to take 2 out of 4 as well. QB, I snuck one in with Derek Carr at QB9 on the week.
Oh, yeah.
That just shows you how bad it was. He had just right around 20 points. Not an amazing week, but hey, he was a top-10 guy. I called for 3 touchdowns. He only got 2 because Taysom threw one. At running back, I had Breece Hall. He didn't do great. He only had 10 points, 50 yards on the ground, and he had 4 catches for 10 yards. Chargers defense shut down the Jets that whole game. Wide receiver, we know it was T. Higgins. He had the 8 for 110 for 19 points. No touchdown, didn't need it. He was just, if he had a touchdown, he would have been like top 3. So really good wide receiver 8 on the week. And then I also had Trey McBride at tight end, and the Cardinals were just a mess all game. So I think he'll rebound this week with Kyler there.
Yeah, I'm hoping he can form a little chemistry with Kyler. That'd be really nice. I'm really leaning on him. So, all right, we're going to get into our smashes for week 10 here. And I'm going to go ahead and start us off with a quarterback here, a first-year starter, but second year in the league with a receiver that just popped off last week. And, you know, another extremely talented one, probably a 1A, 1B situation here. But we are looking at the Washington Durs, Samuel Howell. At Seattle, I like this matchup quite a bit, 425 game. I think he's going to feed it to both of his wide receivers here, maybe a little Logie Thomas. And even your boy Gipper has had a little uptick in activity. So I think that Howell's been looking pretty good. I mean, he's putting numbers up. He's got to do a little bit better in, like, real-life game management at an NFL level, but he's definitely slinging it around, and I think Howell can get it done on the road at Seattle this week.
Love that. I'm gonna chase the points and the story of this episode, Stroud.
Nice.
I don't think the Texans are going to beat the white-hot Bengals right now, but I think they're going to put up a hell of a battle. Which will include him throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns like he does on the regular. The fantasy Stroud House. Stroud House is, come on in, man.
I love that. Very nice. How about a running back?
This is the easiest choice I've made all year. David Montgomery coming back. He scored 3 touchdowns on his last time he returned from an injury. He was on my bench. My team hasn't won a game since. It's automatic. Sorry, Gibbs owners, but we're going to have to take a back seat because the real workhorse is back in town. Give me Montgomery.
All right. I like it very much, especially against the Chargers. I'm going to take a guy that I haven't really had my eye on at all this year. Didn't want him draft season. He's only had one good game all year up until last week. And I'm going to go with Aaron Jones in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. And Jones went off last week for just south of 18 points against a really good Rams run defense. Pittsburgh, the 8th worst in the league right now against opposing running backs. And they're going to have to lean on him because Jordan Love just fucking sucks. There's no other way around it. And it sucks because I really like his group of pass catchers. I started Musgrave last week in a spot start. Jerry had the game of his career. Guess what? Didn't fucking matter. That was in my Sankey team. You got to love it. You can't make it up. But I really like Jaden Reed. I really like Dobbs. Christian Watson, I had some questions about. He obviously popped off last year. I drank a small glass of the Kool-Aid this year in one league. He's done nothing. He has not looked good. But Love should still be able to lean on those other guys. So I think Aaron Jones is going to be a beneficiary of them just not trusting Love. And I think he goes for, I'm going to say at least 50 receiving yards. I'm going to say probably 70 on the ground and at least one tut either way.
Yeah.
And receiver. Now I got a little conundrum here, Jerry. So I'm going to play a little option. So Jamar Chase dealing with a back injury right now. He hurt it in the game last week. And he said it got a lot worse as the game went on. And he has not practiced yet this week as of Wednesday evening. Now, that doesn't mean a ton because I think their first practice would have been today. However, there's a chance he may not play this week, especially against – who are they playing again? The Texans. The Texans in Cincinnati. Bengals are red hot. Honestly, they might be the best team in the AFC right now, just momentum-wise. Burrow looks great. He looks back to himself. I'm a little bit worried about this Chase thing. So, in the off chance that Chase does not play, I want Tyler Boyd as my smash. But I am going to give a little caveat. If Chase does play, I'm going to switch over to Jahan Dotson and keep it rolling from last week. So, might be an illegal move, but my name's on the podcast, so I don't give a shit, and I know Jerry's not going to fight with me here. I'm going to take the option. And those are my guys. So who's your wide receiver this week, Jerry?
Love that. I love you run an option play every now and again. The smash, there's nothing wrong with that. You should get a few option plays. Wide receiver, I really struggled this week to find a smash that I was really confident in. Went back and forth a bunch. And somehow I ended up with Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
The Niners, they're coming off of 3 straight losses. After early on looking like the best team in the league, they just had a bye. So I think Shanahan is coming in with a great game plan, and they're going to go beat the Jags, get back on track, and that's going to involve Ayuk snagging a touchdown and having a solid day.
Could definitely see that. Love it. And finish this up at tight end here.
Tight end. I'm going to go Logan Thomas here.
Okay.
He's been pretty solid at the position. He has 6 or more targets in the last 3 games. So I really like him as an option this week as a streamer. There's a lot of buys again. They do play Seattle, who just got walloped. So I like the matchup there. And I think he can find the end zone. Give one to him and Dotson.
I think so, too, because you know Howell's going to get it done all over the yard. Love that. And I'm going to finish this up. Got to be a trendy pick here. 2 weeks in a row he did it. Nikita started off 2 weeks ago. Dalton Kincaid, they've just been fucking hammering him with targets since Dawson Knox went on IR. He had 7 catches last week. Why stop now? seems like it's really catching on, and I like Kincaid here. Nobody else seems to be stepping up. This is a Monday game in Buffalo against your Coes, and you got to think Diggs might get draped up with PS2. Maybe not, though. But either way, I don't think he'll be on Kincaid. It'll be Gabe Davis or him, or probably a little bit of both. I'm not sure if PS2 shadows people, but obviously Diggs is the alpha there. So I like Kincaid. I like him to score, and I'm thinking he catches at least 5 passes. So that's a smash in my book for a tight end.
I love that.
All right. Now, as always, we are going to get into the soap. Soapbox Hero. All right. Jerry, would you like to get up on the soapbox, or do you want to close us out?
I'll jump up on the soapbox here. So, people that don't set their lineups or give up on the league, it changes the course of a league drastically when you have people like this. In our dynasty that we're in, the League of Legends this week, I seen a team put up 32 points. This is unacceptable, really. It's funny. It's hilarious, really. But it does. It just truly amazes me how people will pay for a league and then just... I mean, these people haven't set their lineup the entire year. So it's hard to believe they would pay for something like that. It's Dynasty, it's tough, too, because these teams are auto-drafting rookies. These rookies are going to rot on these poor teams. Never to be seen. Their whole career, they'll never get to play in one fantasy matchup.
Yep.
They're stuck on this bench, this prison, and you can't trade with these people, so there's no interaction for that because they're not even paying attention, so that takes away. It's just crazy. I mean, it's whatever if you don't want to do it, but my opinion, get rid of them. Kick them out.
And this
throw those players in a pool.
Yeah. This individual.
Let us all bid.
This individual was a guest on the pod last year, believe it or not. And Billy,
wow,
we're talking to you. It's a real problem. And your invitation to football day may be revoked if this does not get fixed in the future. How could you even think about coming to something called football day when you can't even set your lineup for a $100 plus league that you buy into every year? Now, we know you're a fancy doctor in Manhattan, and you just throw money out the window for your $13,000 studio apartment every month. However, if you're going to play, play. Couldn't agree more.
Why?
All right, I'm going to jump up on here in a quick one. I've been in a keeper league for probably close to 15 years now with a bunch of my close friends. Brandon was just on last week. He's been there with me the whole way. I know some of them listen to this pod. For the last 5-6 years or so, this league has turned into, okay, you get up to week 7 or 8. If you don't think you have a chance to win, you sell all your players and you rebuild for next year. And then the other half of the league is just buying all the players, trading picks. And if you don't make a move, you're left to be, you know, a middling team. So you're forced to mortgage your future to be competitive in the league. I like to trade as much as the next guy, but this is such amateur Bush League bullshit to where you can't draft a good enough team, so you just have to do this. And I frankly, it's a league that I don't really want to play in anymore. I love those guys, and I would love to keep that, but it's, you know, I'm 35. You're at the point where it's like, well, if I don't play in this league anymore, I'll never see these guys, which may be true, some of them. But, you know, it's not worth dealing with it, and I just, it's such amateur dog shit to just throw away your picks. I was talking to Buzz about it today because he was, you know, he's in a conundrum where he had a really good team, and then all of a sudden these teams are making these fucking terrible trades just to get
super team.
Yeah, you're getting super, like, you didn't draft this team. You don't deserve this team. This is horrible. And it's mostly from people who can't draft. That's how it goes. But now Buzz was forced to make a move to where he has to mortgage his future to be able to be competitive. And if you're not going to be competitive, why play? So we're at the point where it's like, okay, Jerry, me and you are in this league this year. Give me all your players. You can have all mine next year. And we'll keep trading off for a shot at winning this league. That's not fantasy football. That's not how this works.
No.
So if you're in a keeper league, don't do that. And if you're in one long enough and it turns into that, you need to reset the clock. So I'm proposing next year, I've been saying it for 3 or 4 years, we need to get rid of keepers, or you can't trade picks, or the trade deadline has to be like end of September. One of those has to happen, or it's just not fun. Like, the way that this league is played, it's not fun anymore. It might be fun for the, you know, whoever ends up winning, but you have a team that you procured. You didn't draft. You didn't work the waiver wire. You didn't do shit. Yeah. You literally traded away your future for a chance to win now, and it's not a dynasty league. That's not how you play in a keeper league. So that's my soapbox. We'll see if they listen. It's not fun. I've had several people message me outside and just be like, this isn't fun anymore. It's not even fun to play. So what are your thoughts on
that's
a league
cycle
like that?
To be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bad cycle to get in. 'Cause then it's the same thing. It's the same idea. You're just giving up. You know, say might as well not set your lineup. It's the same idea, really.
Yep.
You know, it's just, you're changing the game. You're drastically changing the whole league by doing that. It's like it's stupid. It ruins it for everyone as a whole. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
It's not what fantasy's about. It's fantasy's a solo game. You're supposed to, you know, do your best, get pickup moves. You can make trades and all that, but the whole, oh, I'll just get rid of all my picks so I can get the stud players and trade away. It's stupid.
Right.
It's stupid. It's amateur hour. And it's toxic for a league. It makes it not fun. It doesn't take skill. It's taken everything away from it, yeah. Really.
Couldn't have said it better. There's no skill involved in that. So I'm at the point now where the people that perennially do this every year, and there's three or four that are really the pivot men for it, I want to give my players to other teams for nothing just so they don't win. It's a spiteful thing now, and we're supposed to be some of my oldest friends. I don't want you to win at all. So I want to give them, I want to give my players to other teams just so you can't enjoy this win. Like that's where I'm at. And that's probably what I'll end up doing is probably going to give a few to Buzz, probably going to give a few to Wagner we're talking 10th round picks here, 11th round picks. I don't care anymore because I don't want you to win. And you've made my league something that I was a commissioner at, and I've stepped down a couple times because of bullshit like this. It makes it not fun. And I don't really want anything to do with a league that's played like that anymore. So that's the soapbox for the week. Hopefully some of you listen, because it's just, you know, hopefully it's not just the same old stupid shit next year when we sit at the Harley shop. But it is what it is. Take it or leave it. But it's week 10, Jerry. And we're at a crossroads. We got what? 10, 11, 12, 13. We got 5 more weeks left of the regular season. What advice do we have for them?
Don't be like these guys we were talking about on the soapbox. Keep fighting. Keep using the waiver wire. Pick up your Keaton Mitchells, guys like that. They might become difference makers. Hopefully you guys that have disappointed can turn it around. Just don't give up. Just keep playing. Try and get some wins. If you don't win, who cares? Play spoiler. Keep picking guys up off the wire to screw other people. Have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll sneak a win in every now and then. Even if you're there's been a lot of bad teams this year across the board in a lot of leagues. I'm seeing it everywhere. The bottom half of the league is a mess. So you're not alone. Everyone's going through it. Try and have fun with it.
And keep remembering, it's supposed to be fun. If you're not having fun,
right.
Why are you playing? You know? And Billy, right. Set your fucking lineup, man. Just set your lineup. It's not that hard. Or else trade me and Jerry all your players and then give up like everybody in the Keeper League.
Right.
All right. That's what we got for you. We'll be back next week with a guest as long as, you know, somebody will actually reply to my text. So, for Mr. Chains, I am Matty Funk. Good luck in week 10.
Peace.